Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Hello and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm your host, Gary Zimak. Make yourself comfortable. You and I are going to be here for the next 30 minutes as we look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Yes, we are headed toward Lent. We're headed toward the beginning of Lent, only a few weeks away. But right now, today, we're going to look at these readings, which emphasize the light shining in the darkness. Jesus Christ, He is the light of the world. And, you know, we all know that. I'm not telling you anything new when I say that Christ is the light of the world. But here's the deal. I think here's the challenge for each one of us. Is He really illuminating the darkness in my life? Now, we're all going to have different types of darkness. We need guidance morally. We need guidance spiritually in our prayer lives. We also need guidance in our day-to-day lives. Is Jesus the light shining in your life? Is He lighting up your darkness, or do you feel like you're walking around in the darkness and you need some light? Everything looks dark. Everything looks hopeless. And let me tell you, on any given day, I know what that feels like. I'm with you. I really get it. So today we'll tie that all together and we'll look at how Christ can be not only the light for the entire world, but the light in the darkness taking place in your life. That's the message today, and God willing, I'll be able to bring that across with the help of the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, let's turn to our Heavenly Father and ask for His help as we begin our show. Would you please join me? I would appreciate that. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, wow, sometimes I just get blown away when I think that I have the ability to talk to you, to address you. What an honor it is, Father. Father, we turn to you this day and we thank you because you didn't have to give us this day, but you did. So that's a gift. Thank you for that gift. Father, thank you for providing for us in so many ways. Help us to become more aware of the ways that you make your presence known in our day-to-day lives. Please continue to help us on the journey. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who illuminates the darkness in our lives. Help us to be able to turn on the light switch so that we can see the guidance provided by your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we ask you for a fresh and new and abundant outpouring of your Holy Spirit this day. I specifically ask that you inspire me to say the words that you would like spoken on this program. Give me the words, give me the ideas. Help me to be able to deliver your message, Father, through the power of your Holy Spirit. And as I always do, I ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you again for praying with me. You know, sometimes I think we can forget that when we pray like that, even when we pray prayers such as the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, that something happens when we say those words. You know, it's not just that we're saying those words to make us feel better or to go through the motions or to check the box. No, when we pray, when we talk to our Father in heaven, as I just did now, you might not have been able to feel anything, but I guarantee you something took place. It's like the air that we breathe. We don't necessarily see it. We can't really feel it. But if we took it away, we'd know it's there, right? It's the same way with prayer. And let's pray that. Continue to pray that the Holy Spirit can enlighten us so that we can better appreciate the value of prayer. Because I'll tell you what, it's really important, but I understand why sometimes we relegate it to the back burner. Oh yeah, I'm going to do everything else, and if nothing else works, I'm going to pray. But the Lord wants us to put prayer first, so always remember that. And again, you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you. If you struggle with that, that's actually a good thing, because that longing, that desire, that desire to better appreciate the power of prayer, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit acting in you to create that need, that desire, because that's the first step. The first step to better appreciating the value of prayer is to realize that you don't appreciate it, right? It's the same thing with trying to become a good person. I want to practice virtue. Well, you initially realize how sinful you are. So it's a good thing. You can't go to the doctor to be cured unless you realize there's a problem. So if you have a problem with prayer, if you find it dry, if you find it unfulfilling, if you think there's something you're missing, take that to prayer. I know it sounds crazy, but it really will work. Holy Spirit, please help me to feel this. Help me to really understand the value of prayer. And let me say that you're not always going to feel it, but there's a certain kind of an intellectual way that the Holy Spirit lets you know sometimes that this is effective, even though you don't feel it. And it's a process. I've been at this a long time. I have good days. I have bad days. Some days I get frustrated, but I really do honestly and sincerely believe that prayer is powerful and is very important. So I'm going to pray for you each day that you will feel it as well. Okay, I'm Gary Zimak. This is the Gary Zimak Show, and I'm so glad you could join me on this program as we look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday in Ordinary Time. By the way, if you want to find out more information about my work, if you want to invite me to speak at your parish, or if you'd possibly like to make a donation to my full-time ministry, I would invite you to travel over to my website at followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. And one more thing that came up since the last program that we did, I now started a Facebook page for Give Up Worry for Lent. This is my book that came out for the first time last year. It really did amazingly well, and I'm going to get things going again this year. I'm going to do something different. Give Up Worry for Lent. It's a book that covers each day of Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday, and I have a very short Bible verse and a meditation and a prayer for each day of the Lenten season. Obviously, the goal in giving up worry is that we'll move closer to the Lord. Give up worry, give up control, turn control over to our Lord Jesus Christ and let Him lead us. I mean, that's the goal of Lent. That's what we want to do. We want to grow closer to Him. That's the goal of this book as well. So if you're on Facebook and you go to Give Up Worry for Lent, look, do a search for that page, like that page, and then you're going to see my posts. I'm going to be posting every day during the Lenten season, and it's going to be a post that will tie into the daily message on Give Up Worry for Lent. It's going to be some additional information. It's going to be more interactive. And I think it's a great way for us, the two of us, to get together and do this and walk through this process of giving up worry for Lent. So it's not going to cost you anything to go over to Facebook, Give Up Worry for Lent, like that page. And then if you want to follow along, it would be great to get the book, obviously. So you can do that as well. There's a link to the Amazon page for the book from Give Up Worry for Lent on Facebook, or you can go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, find the book there, or go right to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or the bookseller of your choice, and look for Give Up Worry for Lent. I really look forward to journeying with you through the Lenten season. If you have any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, let's do these readings, third Sunday in Ordinary Time. Good stuff here today. We're going to start with the gospel, as I do each week. We let the gospel lead. The gospel, according to the church, has a place of prominence. The whole Bible is the inspired word of God, but the gospels stand above everything else in the Bible. They're really important. We start with the gospel here because the gospel is what drives the other readings each Sunday. The gospel today comes from Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he called two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. Now, you know, you look at these stories. First of all, the fact that Jesus is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah, and this is going to give you a hint to our first reading today. We're going to hear this prophecy from the prophet Isaiah saying that the light has come to illuminate the darkness. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. You know, we think sometimes that this only applies to the people who were waiting for the Savior thousands of years ago. But that really isn't the case, because let's be honest, as I alluded to at the start of the show, you and me, we're in some degree of darkness every day. Every day we need to be illuminated by the light of Christ. And if we're really living the life of a disciple, and this is something I didn't get for many years, and I'm trying to understand it better now, and I hope you can follow me on this. If I really want to be a follower of Christ, what do I need to do? I need to follow Christ. And this is very clear when Jesus is calling his first apostles. And he ran it to Peter and Andrew, and he said, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Come after me. In other words, come after me, not before me. Follow me. And what did they do? They left. They left everything and followed Jesus. Now, I want to talk about this because he is coming, or he wants to come into your life, because again, we all have some degree of darkness. We don't know what we're supposed to do today. What does God want me to do today? How can I be good to the people around me? What exactly should I do to please the Lord? You know, and really what he wants you to do is your daily duties, whatever they may be, but he wants you to do them well. There comes a time, however, when you got to think about picking up the phone and calling somebody. Somebody maybe you've lost touch with. Maybe somebody who's feeling a little down today. Be nice to that person that you run into in the store, somebody who needs a smile. Maybe hold the door for them, say a nice word to them. Maybe invite somebody to church. Maybe talk to Jesus about somebody. You know, nowadays, I mentioned Facebook earlier, with social media, it's really easy to share an article or a positive image that has a nice quote attached to it. You know, like share something to be that light of Christ to somebody who might really need it. So the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen that light in your life? In order for that to happen, just like Simon Peter and Andrew, who were fishermen, you're going to need to follow Jesus. How often? It's not just a one and done deal. It's an everyday thing. So every day that you wake up, Jesus says to you, follow me. All right? So where do you want me to go, Lord? Well, there's two things you have to remember. As I said just a few minutes ago, he's going to want you to do your daily duties, whatever they are. You have family responsibilities, you have job responsibilities. He wants you to do them to the best of your ability. But then there are, within your general duties for your particular state of life, there might be specific things that the Lord wants you to do. You're going to find that out by praying and staying in contact with him. You start, if you can spend a little time in the morning, that's a great time to really connect with the Lord. Maybe read a little scripture, read the daily mass readings, read some spiritual books, whatever it might be, and then talk to the Lord. Say, all right, Lord, I'm going to get ready now. I'm going to get ready for work. I like to talk to the Lord in the shower. I really do. I don't believe in wasting time. And it felt a little weird at first, but it's a great time to connect with him. And I literally share everything with him. I make it a point to say, what do you want me to do today, Lord? I'm a little nervous about this meeting I have, or this project, or I'm trying to do some writing and it's a little dry, or I'm feeling a little down today. Be honest with him. Have that conversation with him. That's what you're going to do, as these disciples, or the apostles more specifically, did when they followed Jesus. They went with him. They lived with him. They talked with him every day, and he gave them direction. And if you look into the Gospels, you're going to get direction too. That's why scripture is so important. Here we see Jesus saying, come after me, I will make you fishers of men. So the first thing when I hear that, Because that applies to me. That's the Lord speaking to me, too. When I hear that, I say, all right, who am I supposed to be a fisher? How am I? Wait a minute. I talked myself into a corner there. Who am I supposed to reach? I'm a fisher of men. What fish am I supposed to catch today? And really, let the Holy Spirit of Jesus guide you to certain people. And it doesn't always have to be through heavy duty evangelization. You might just be called to be nice to somebody today, to be nice, to reach out. Who am I supposed to be Jesus to today? And just by reading this gospel, you start to get that feel that he's talking to you. And then at once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, how about you? How about me? And this is not, again, not a one and done deal. This is an everyday deal. Am I willing to hear Jesus' words, follow me, and say, yes, Lord, I will follow you every day? Am I willing to do it? Let me tell you, that is a great way to live your life if you're able to do that. We see after that, Jesus called James and John. They left their father Zebedee. They left him in the boat. I mean, these guys left everything. That shows you the power of this encounter with Jesus Christ. I invite you to make that surrender today of your life. You don't have to leave your job. You're not going to leave your family. That's not what the Lord is saying here. But that figurative break from everything that's holding you behind, everything that's holding you bound to the material possessions and the things of this world. Again, you don't have to sell them all, but you don't want to be enslaved to things or material rewards, or whatever they may be. You want to be free to follow Jesus in your life. Why? Because the world is a very dark place, and the world needs the light of Christ. You and me, as part of the mystical body of Christ, the church, we are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world today. It's really an incredible opportunity, and we're led by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus didn't leave us alone. He gave us his Holy Spirit to work in us every day. And by reading scripture, that's one of the best ways to do this, we get our marching orders for the day, if you will. There's going to be some message every day. You know, we're called to imitate Christ. And because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we're able to do that if we go along with the plan. Of course, we can fight it. But if we read the gospel every day, we're going to get an idea with prayer. You know, you got to pray sometimes or really think a little bit about it. We're going to get an idea of how we can be that light in the world. Let's look at the first reading. It's from Isaiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. First, the Lord degraded the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the end, he has glorified the seaward road, the land west of the Jordan, the district of the Gentiles. Anguish has taken wing, dispelled is darkness, for there is no gloom where but now there was distress. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing, as they rejoice before you as at the harvest, as people make merry when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pull on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster you have smashed, as on the day of Midian. Now this is again a forward reference. It's a prophecy of the Messiah. You and me, we have access to that Messiah today, every day. And again, once we have that encounter with him, of course, we have to know him ourselves. We have to make sure we connect with him. We are called to be his hands and feet in the world. We're to be Jesus bringing light into the darkness of others' lives. You know, there are a lot of people that I know who don't listen to spiritual podcasts, who don't do spiritual reading. A lot of people don't go to church. They need Jesus. That's up to you and me to be Jesus to them, to be that light shining in the darkness. And don't forget, he's going to be the light shining in your world too. So when you're looking at your dwindling bank account, when you're looking at your job and the frustrations that you have on the job, when you're looking at the fact that you're lonely, when you're looking at the fact that you might have some poor health and you don't know how it's going to turn out, Jesus is your hope. He's going to light up your world. He's going to be the light in your darkness, but it just can't end there. To whatever extent you can, you've got to somehow share it with others. And that involves prayer, that involves witness. Again, you can do it on social media, you can do it in person, you can do it by blogging. It's not too hard to get a blog going nowadays. You could do it through the telephone. Even if you can't leave your house, you could be a light shining in someone else's dark world. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 27, one of my favorites, the Lord is my light and my salvation. You know, turn that around and ask the question to yourself, is the Lord really my light and my salvation? And again, don't be afraid to say no, he's not. Prestige is, comfort is, any number of other things. That's my light and my salvation. But I know it's wrong. You know, it's okay to accept that, to admit it, because that is, once again, the first step to getting better. If the Lord's not your light and your salvation, well, turn that into prayer. Lord, I want you to be my light and my salvation, but I'm scared. I'm scared to let go. Can you help me? And believe me, he will. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I love this. Whom should I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Right? Have no fear, because the Lord is your light, your salvation. He's with you at all times. One thing I ask of the Lord, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord and contemplate his temple. I believe that I shall see the bounty of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord with courage. Be stout-hearted and wait for the Lord. When you pray, right? When you pray, wait for the Lord to respond in some way. If he doesn't say anything, if he doesn't do anything specifically, assume that he answered and that he wants you to wait for him. He heard your prayer. You can be assured that whenever you pray, the Lord hears your prayer. And then say, Lord, is there anything I'm supposed to do? A lot of times there isn't. We pray for this or that, the other thing to happen, and we don't really get a response. And we panic. We either stop praying or we think he's not listening. No. A lot of times he wants us to just wait on him. And when it's time for us to do something, make sure you say, Lord, let me know if I'm supposed to do something. And believe me, if you pray long enough and you read your scriptures and you stay close to him through the sacraments are really crucial when it comes to discerning what the Lord wants you to do. He's eventually going to tell you. He's going to give you a thought. He's going to give you a feeling. He's going to send the message through somebody else. He will let you know if he wants something for you to, he wants you to do something. Let's take a look at the second reading. It comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, beginning in chapter 1, verse 10. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same purpose. For it has been reported to me about you, my brothers and sisters, by Chloe's people, that there are rivalries among you. I mean that each of you is saying, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And not with the wisdom of human eloquence, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its meaning. You know, boy, when I'm reading this, all I'm thinking about is the incredible division in the world today, even in the Catholic Church. A lot of division, a lot of attacking. I'm a fan of this one. I don't like that one. This priest, man, he's no good. Well, this priest, he's the best. It's got to be the Latin Mass. Oh, no, the Latin Mass is bad. You know, listen, we're the body of Christ. We should not be divided. We need to be seeking unity. We need to be thinking about what we're saying and ask ourselves this question. If I'm going to dwell on a particular article or read a book or watch something on TV about the church, is this, not even about the church, about anything, is this going to help me and others to grow closer to Christ? Because if it's not, we need to get rid of it, especially if it's hurting us. I had this discussion with somebody not too long ago about just watching what we say. You know, we want to be careful about criticizing the leaders of the church specifically. We want to be careful about that. Is it going to help? Is it going to bring about any good? Or is it just going to create more division? We don't want to be creating division. We need unity. And I'm not saying to bury your head in the sand and ignore something that might be problematic. I'm just saying you could choose your emphasis. I personally want to read and watch and listen to material that's going to draw me closer to Christ and His church and how He can help me and help those around me. Let's go for unity. Let's not go for division. And again, we don't want to be too tied to a particular preacher or a writer or a blogger or a priest. We need to focus on Jesus Christ and the teachings of His church. You can't go wrong with the Bible and the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And of course, there's a lot of other good material too, but those two, that's the 1-2 punch, man, the Bible and the Catechism. Know the teachings of the church and know Scripture. You do a little bit of reading from those two books every day and you are going to be in fantastic shape. And not only will Jesus Christ begin to illuminate your life, but through you, He's going to illuminate or be the light shining in the darkness in the lives of those people in your world, whoever they may be. So really believe that it's true. And I would ask you today to really make that effort to try to focus more on letting the Lord be the light in your life and letting Him work through you in the lives of others. Okay, sound good? We're just about out of time. I mean, these are really good readings, weren't they? Because I just know that there are times in almost every one of my days, I'm going to be honest with you here, that there is some degree of darkness, some degree of doubt, some degree of uncertainty. And the minute I open my Bible and start reading the words of Jesus, or start reading what our Heavenly Father said throughout the Old Testament, I start feeling better. Scripture, it's really, really cool. Also, don't forget Holy Communion. If you're able to get to Mass, in addition to your Sunday obligation, you get to Mass a few days a week and make it a point to get to confession at least monthly, your life's going to change. You're going to start to feel that peace and you'll see the light shining in your life and you'll feel that desire. You want to go share Jesus with others. I'm serious. This never was me before. Believe me, several years ago, I was not like this at all, but I began to change once I started going to daily Mass and really started getting to know Jesus on a personal level. So if you have any questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I want to ask you a favor. It's after Christmas. It's a little lean. Donations have been down lately. If you would be able to go to followingthetruth.com and send a donation to my full-time ministry, I'd really appreciate it. The next couple months are going to be really, really lean until Lent picks up. It would help me greatly if you can either make a one-time donation or I could really use a few more regular monthly sponsors. It's all securely done through PayPal at followingthetruth.com. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. All right. I guess I got to get out of here until we meet again. You know what I always tell you? The Lord's with you. He really is. Just turn around. Take note of the fact that He's there. Make sure you include Him in your daily life and let Him be the light in your darkness. Okay? Sound good? Until next time, this is Gary Zimek saying have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.